Guds vapnet höll han lyft i sin högra hand.
Hello everyone, I'm Sinek. As you may know, the 16th episode is going to be our season finale. Therefore, the program structure will be a little bit different this time. We'll let our journalists exchange their views on the topics they're most interested in, and they don't need to have anything to do with films. Also, you'll get to hear some dubbing clips chosen from their favorite movies or TV series. Isn't that fascinating? Okay, no more boring speech. Hope you enjoy our program as always, and we'll see you in autumn. My dear audiences, before the talk starts, I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
They say that there are two things in the world that we should never let them down. You know, what are those two things, Charles?
Well, as for me, the first thing would definitely be good food. And the second, the most amazing thing in the world, I'd rather not to talk about it here, I think.
Ew. I hope you mean love by that.
Of course, come on. What kind of person do you think I am?
I said nothing.
Okay, so you both put food as priority?
Yep, and it's not just about the dishes. The cooking process, the aroma, even the pictures of fine food can light up my day.
And I'm wondering, how can you stay so slim?
Well, thanks to my genes, I think.
I may not be such a food addict as Charles, but I do enjoy reading articles or watching movies about it.
In fact, the obsession with food can be traced back to early age as humans were still fighting to survive. Food means energy and hope back then, and it's likely to be the source of most excitement. Though people are not likely to starve now, your brain will still produce large amounts of dopamine as food is around.
And that could explain why the so-called hunger literature and other hunger art forms enjoy their huge popularity these days. It's a natural mind lifter for those who have stressed all day but hard to have a decent meal.
Wait, so we're talking about food right now and right here? Can you two have maybe a little mercy on someone who haven't had dinner, like me?
That'll be fine. It can work as an appetizer. Alright, tie up your belts, my dear friends. If you don't have any food around, welcome to our end of season food special. This is your host for today, Elva. And yes, we're having Charles and Apollo here in the studio.
Hi.
Hello.
So, speaking of movies and food, apparently there are a lot else there. Maybe we can all name a few here. Probably the ones impossible to watch without chicken wings and cola by hand.
I'll say Charlie and the Chocolate Factory first. Well, in time order, since I watched it about 7 or 6, technically it's not a food movie. The aim of the movie might be teaching certain virtues to children in a relatively enjoyable way. But all I remember is the chocolate waterfall, the syrup river, and the egg-shaped candy with a small bird on it. That's my image of heaven, if there is any. Oh, by the way, I had binge-eaten chocolate bars the whole next week, and then hadn't touched chocolate for a long time.
Oh, really? That movie is one of my favorite as well.
Only it's for another reason. Since I was a bit older when I watched it, around my adolescent years, and Freddie Highmore had all my attention. You have to admit that he's not cute, right?
No, kind of.
Back then, I don't know about crush or love or anything. My feeling towards him was similar to those I have for a large, creamy, strawberry-flavored cake.
You mean you felt hungry about him? Now, who's the dirty one?
There's an old saying in Chinese goes like, to eat and to love are the core of human nature, both of which are natural desires, and the latter one shouldn't be suppressed too much, right? It's okay to let go of yourself in the U.S. special.
Elva, you really are leading the talk into a weird direction here.
Am I? Or the two topics are actually inseparable?
In some movies, food can act as a trigger of desire. As another old saying goes, after you've satisfied your mouth, you will want to satisfy your body.
You sure that's proper for the show?
Well, we're all grown-ups, why so serious? Anyway, take the movie La Vie de Belle, for example. You've watched it, all right?
Unforgettable, I mean. It's truly eye-opening.
And to some extent, very educational.
All right. Besides the intense scenes, you may notice that our little Adele is eating all the time. The pasta, the chocolate sticks, the oysters. Her mouth never rests, and there are many close-ups of her biting, licking her lips. What do you think that's suggesting?
Kind of desire, maybe? Hunger?
I think for young girl in her age, it can be a substitute for love. As far as I'm concerned, if a girl has an obsession with food, she must have one for love as well. Though some may not even realize that, like Julia Roberts' role in Eat, Pray, Love, as she is enjoying the very authentic Italian thin pizza, she turns around and with a wide smile on her face, says that she's having a relationship with it. As a woman just escaped from marriage and lost in bewilderment, where to satisfy her desires? Right, good food.
Yep, food is a universal cure without doubt. By the way, I find some movies concentrating on cooking also very attractive. Like in my favorite animated movie, Ratatouille, the chopping, spicing, scrambling are all forms of art. The way the cook deals with the sauce is like a painter deals with his brush. That's when I fell in love with the delicate French food.
Then you can't miss the BBC documentary called Jolly Dreams of Sushi. It tells about one legendary sushi chef, Jolly, who devotes his whole life in his little sushi restaurant and is committed to making the best sushi in the world. When he is placing the tuna, it's as if he's trying to balance a feather with the chopsticks. Trust me, you could never believe that rice could be dealt with such tenderness. And something simple as the combination of nori and rice can create magic.
God, you've made me hungry now. I've been a fan of Japanese cuisine, by the way, because I like the way they deal with the material to keep the natural flavor and texture of the food without over-seasoning it. That's the Japanese philosophy of less is more. You don't have to sauce the food into one taste, but to fully release its own natural flavor. It reminds me of another movie called The Little Forest. Ring a bell?
The one about how the girl cooks the lawn in a village? No exciting conflicts, no romantic relationship, and no cute guys? That movie is pure fantastic. I'm still gonna say, though the plot is simple as cooking vegetables in your backyard, it's still touching.
Yep, and that's exactly why it's so highly valued, because it's so simple. I like the second season of A Bite of China. I mean, the documentary is brilliant, of course, it just kind of lost its simplicity in the pursuit of technique. Personally speaking, the first season is more moving. It's not only about food, but concentrates more on beauty and love of life.
And there you go, that's the spirit. See, behind the craving for food, there's actually love of life. One of my friends once told me that you would never see a food lover give up on life. So, God bless all the foodies.
Hey, you guys haven't had a dinner yet. What about Heidi Lau after we finish the show? My treat.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Of course then. I'm starving.
So, my dearest listeners, that's all for the food and love special today. Stay tuned for the rest of the show. Goodbye, because we're all starving. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
You know what? The trip there is best, and there's a little desert called rice cake or something.
Oh, you mean the brown sugar glutinous rice cake? Oh, I love it. By the way, what's your week look like?
I will.
Hi, I'm Charlie. You know what? Today is my birthday, and I'm so excited. I know maybe my family can't afford the big parties or huge cakes, but I still think I'm very lucky. In fact, I think I am the luckiest boy in the world, because I can have my whole family together to celebrate today.
I know they all love me very much, and it's the best gift to have them around. Besides, each year I would get a chocolate bar as a present. And this year, they say there might be a golden ticket hidden in it. I don't know if I'll have the luck, but my grandpa said I should give it a try. Well, wish me good luck. All the stairs this way.
I'm eating the Wonka bar. I taste something that is not chocolate, or coconut, or walnut, or peanut butter, or nougat, or butter brittle, or caramel, or sprinkles, so I love it. And I found the golden ticket.
Augusta, what did you start about?
I ate more candies.
We knew Augustus would find the golden ticket. He eats so many candy bars a day that it was impossible for him not to find one.
Told you it would be a porker.
What a repulsive boy. Only 4 golden tickets left.
Now that you've found one, things will get really crazy.
Veruca, can you spell that for us, please?
V-E-R-U-C-A. Veruca Salt.
As soon as my little Veruca told me she had to have one of these golden tickets, I started buying all the Wonka bars I could lay my hands on. Thousands of them. Hundreds of thousands. I'm in the nut business, you see? So I said to my workers,
"Morning, ladies. From now on, you can stop shelling peanuts and start it shelling the wrappers of these chocolate bars instead."
Three days went by and we had no luck. Oh, it was terrible. My Veruca got more and more upset each day.
Where's my golden ticket? I want my golden ticket!
Well, gentlemen, I just hated to see my little girl being unhappy like that. I vowed I would keep searching until I could give her what she wanted. And finally, I found her a ticket.
Daddy, I want another pony.
She's even worse than the fat boy.
I don't think that was really fair. She didn't find a ticket herself.
Don't worry about it, Charlie. That man spoils his daughter, and no good ever comes from spoiling a child like that.
These are just some of the 263 trophies and medals my Violet had won.
I'm a gun shooter mostly, but when I heard about this ticket things, I laid up the gun, switched to candy bars.
Oh, she's just a driven young woman. I don't know where she gets it.
I'm the junior world champion gun shooter. This piece of gum I'm chewing right now, I've been working on it for the 3 months solid. That's a record.
Of course, I did have my share of trophies, mostly baton.
So, it says that one kid's gonna get a special prize better than all the rest. I don't care who those 4 are. That kid is gonna be me.
Tell them why, Violet.
Because I'm a winner.
What a beastly girl.
Despicable.
You don't know what we are talking about.
Dragonflies.
Hello everyone, it's good to see you this Saturday night. This is Stephanie, and together with me are Anne and Chloe.
Hi!
Today is our last program of this term. Wow, a little upset. I hate to part with you guys.
Come on, Anne. Next term, we'll still wait for our dear audience on Saturday night. So, Stephanie, in today's program, we have a clip of Midnight in Paris. There are a host of famous writers, poets, and artists. That's really a visible feast. Which character do you like best in it?
me, when it comes to writers, I do appreciate Fitzgerald, especially his best-known work, The Great Gatsby, and I think it does reveal some essence of human nature.
Well, I have to say that time was quite glory days in history. It seems I can still smell the resplendent perfume, both in fashion and in literature.
For me, I'm a big fan of the actor who plays Fitzgerald in his film.
You mean Tom Hiddleston?
Absolutely.
To be honest, he is a handsome British actor.
Just handsome? Well, actually, he's drop-dead gorgeous. With a height of 188 centimeters, he has such a perfect figure and has been listed as one of the sexiest men in the world for a few years.
But I mean no offense, just every time I see him present on some occasions, his hair looks like less and less.
That makes sense. And what's funny is that last time he came to China to promote Thor 2, he mistook Tianmen as the Forbidden City. He took a photo there and tweeted as being the Forbidden City, leaves many Chinese fans.
Oh, pretty interesting. He's so cute.
Surely. Aside from his charming appearance, do you know that his voice is also attractive?
Yes, I heard about this before. Once upon a time, I even learned to recite Sonnet 18 by William Shakespeare by following his audio clip. In this way, I think practicing English is not boring or painful at all. You can also find some audiobooks by Benedict Cumberbatch, Dan Stevens, Ben Winshaw and Emma Watson.
It's quite an exciting thing to practice our oral English under the lead of stars we love. What a good approach.
As a matter of fact, Tom graduated from Cambridge, majored in literature. After that, he came to Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, where he had training lessons and became a professional actor.
From some interviews, it is said that Hiddleston a crazy fan of William Shakespeare, just like you, Chloe, right?
Yes. The truth is, I was at first inspired by him when it comes to Shakespeare, but after I read a lot of Bard's plays, I think he's a genius in writing.
However, Chloe, don't you think it's too hard when you read some of his work? Sometimes, maybe the Old English in 1600s, and occasionally can be the sentences themselves, just too complicated to understand.
You're right, Anne. In the beginning, I read his work in Chinese version, and I recommend edition translated by Zhu Shenhao or Tuan. When you have an overall knowledge of Shakespeare's works, you can try to turn to a simplified version in English.
Does it really work?
I suppose so. After all, William Shakespeare contributed a lot to English language. It can be exemplified by what passed his prologue, which comes from his last play, Tempest. This phrase was also created by our President Xi during his visit to the United Kingdom last year.
Exactly. Tom Hiddleston plays some impressive Shakespeare roles, such as Prince Hall in BBC's History's TV series and General Coriolanus, a relatively obscure Shakespearean by Chinese standards.
Recently, I feel frequent to see Tom Hiddleston on the posters, from the display window in the subway line 1 to the linked channel in line 10, even on a bus I met on the street.
So do I, because of the new series, Night Manager. After it was first shown in BBC Two, it was much more popular than expected. It also got a good score on Douban. As Night Manager is now shown on the internet in China, the online video company must have been promoting it.
According to what you just said, I can't wait to watch it.
Be careful. Tom is extremely handsome in it. You will have a crush on him.
So, today this part is coming to the end. See you next term.
Stay tuned.
This clip is from Midnight in Paris, a romantic film directed by Woody Allen. In this part, Gil happened to travel to the 1920s and met the Fitzgeralds, Zelda and Scott Fitzgerald.
You look lost.
Oh, yeah. You're an American?
If you count Alabama as American, which I do, I miss the best of Jean. What do you do?
Me? I'm a writer.
Who do you write?
Oh, right now I'm working on a novel.
Oh, yes. I'm Zelda, by the way. Oh, Scott! Scott!
Yes. What is this, sweetheart?
He's a writer from, where?
California.
Scott Fisterud. And who are you, old Spock?
Gil. The... You have the same names as...
As what?
Scott Fisterud and...
Scott and Zelda Fisterud. The Fisteruds. Isn't she beautiful?
Yes. Yeah, that's a coincidence, like,
You have a glazed look in your eye. Stunned, stupefied, anesthetized, lobotomized.
I keep looking at the man playing piano, and I, believe it or not, recognize his face from some old sheet music.
I know I can be one of the great writers of music lyrics. Not that I can write melodies. And I try. And then I hear the songs he writes, and I realize I'll never write a great lyric. And my talent really lies in drinking.
Sure does.
Yeah, but he didn't write the music, did he? That's not possible.
So, what kind of books do you write?
I'm working on a, where am I?
I'm sorry, don't you know the host? Some friends have gotten together a little party, but wrong at all.
Hey, lady, what? Are you kidding me?
I know what you're thinking. This is boring. I agree. I'm ready to move on. Let's do Bricktops.
Bricktops?
I'm bored. He's bored. We are all bored.
We are all bored. Let's do Bricktops. Why don't you tell Cole and Linda to come with us and, Gail, you coming? When the little blue clerk in the middle of his work starts a tune to the moon up
above. Aha! Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Action Frames have accompanied us for you for about a semester. I don't know how to say, but this is a temporary final episode. I'm really not willing to say goodbye just yet. What about you guys?
Yes, after all these days, listening to Action Frames every Saturday night has become a weekly routine for me. I don't know what will be like on Saturday without Action Frames.
Oh, honey, don't cry. I know it's hard for you, but we ought to take it as it is, you know? What's done is done, right?
Okay, you three emotional animals. All good things must come to an end. And if all of you three keep doing this, we are never going to finish this. Cheer up, guys.
That's got him right. So, as you all know, Action Frames hammers at sharing up-to-date movie information. Some of our audience complains that why don't we do something about TV series? And as you wish, we are going to talk about television.
Whoa, television! I can talk about it for 3 days on end!
Totally. From what I think, unlike the movie bitch, where you have to pay her once or twice a month or go to a certain theater, television is more like a gentle little beauty you can enjoy whenever you want, only at home.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But we cannot truly enjoy movie or television as long as Action Frame is no longer with us.
Can someone throw Cynic out of the room, please?
No.
Chill out. Cynic, speaking of which, I wonder what your favorite television is.
For me, I think Modern Family is what suits me most.
Me too! Three families with completely different characters is really funny and interesting. Which is your favorite family then?
You know, the gay couple I have to meet.
Yeah, Mitchell and Cameron. And their lovely Vietnam daughter, Lily. She's so cute. And in other ways, she seems so mature, even more than her daddy's.
Okay, comedy is always attractive. Apollo, I don't think you are that kind of comedy guy, are you?
He is.
Yeah.
What? Absolutely not. I, as commonly recognized, is serious and mature. I don't like watch comedy at all. I prefer deep thoughts. You know, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones? Well, that's not deep thoughts. That's deep thrones.
Alba, since when did you become so dirty?
Oh, God.
Always, I'm dirty as always. I should still show it to you guys who I'm with in Action Frames recording. But now that is our finale, why not?
That's the other I like, being the rightfully, truly you.
Fine. Go on, what do you think of Game of Thrones?
Grand and legendary, and a little bit exciting.
Yeah, naked women always are exciting.
For me, I think that's only part of the reason why I want to see this drama. George R.R. Martin made his efforts on building the characters of each person he writes.
Yes, apart from the POV, aka point of view characters like the Stark family, every man or woman is vividly built and developed.
Characters, yeah, and the families, and the fights. All that are good enough for me to keep watching.
I like the imp, who's played by Peter Dinklage. Though he's a dwarf, it doesn't affect him being the most attractive person in Game of Thrones. For all his fantastic performance and acting skills.
Nobody talks about Jon Snow. He's back at life again in the recent season 6. He's reborn.
Oh, I knew it. I know he's not being burned is for a reason. But I don't know that all the crew members keep lying to us. And they act like Jon would never come to life again. Oh, they deserve an Oscar for Best Lion Performance.
Also for Best Nipple Rubbing, Lovemaking, and...
Well, that's enough.
How could you?
Okay, and now it's my turn. I know the TV series that I recommend ended like 3 or 4 years ago, but it's still my favorite, and I think no other would ever surpass it.
And that is...
Breaking Bad.
Agree.
Totally. And today I heard we got a flashback for Breaking Bad.
Yes, that's right. But I'm afraid that's a little hard for us because, you know, Aaron Paul, who played Jesse Pinkman, is known for his voice. And that's a little hard to imitate.
Oh, Aaron Paul, my biggest dream is to let him call me a bitch.
What the fuck?
Okay, that's a pretty easy task.
Yeah, we'll help you realize your dream tonight. Cynic, would you?
Excuse me?
Excuse me? I won't do that.
Do it,
Okay, Jake, you bitch.
No. That's not me. More intense and more outburst. Try this one. Bitch.
Oh, no.
Yes, better. Try me. Bitch.
Wonderful.
Oh, God.
Your dream became true, Elva. Okay, and it's been a wonderful night, so on. Though we are going to say goodbye for a short while, but I believe we'll definitely see each other in our next episode. Guys, how are we going to say goodbye this time?
Let me. I love you. Bye.
Okay, thank you so much, and see you all next semester.
This is the classic scene of Breaking Bad in its final season. Walter White has arranged for Jesse Pinkman's escape. Having a lawyer, Saul Goodman, faked all his license and identification. Jesse waited on the road for the car to pick him up, but suddenly he realized his cigarette was gone. All this kind of stuff looked extremely similar to what happened before, when his rising cigarette was gone and poisoned his girlfriend's son, Brock. Things came so clear that Jesse is more than angry that he went straight to the lawyer's office.
Is it no show? Why didn't you call? Why didn't you stop? Stop! Code Red! You! Back up! No!
Hey! Hey, no!
Get in here!
No!
No, back up! You! Stay where you are!
What? I don't know what happened here. What did I do?
You stole it off for me. You and him. You took it right out of my pocket, didn't you?
Well, calm down. Yes. Okay, I had you lift your dope. I told you I couldn't risk that guy not taking you.
No. Before. The cigarette. You stole the cigarette.
What?
The Rice's cigarette! You had him steal it from me! And all that asshole, Mr. White! He poisoned the frog! He poisoned the frog and you! You helped him!
Okay, Jesse, calm down!
Say it again! Tell me one more time to calm down! Come on!
I'm sorry, yes, okay! I heard who lit your cigarette, but what made me? He told me he was helping you, he was saving you! I never would have agreed to it if I had known what he was gonna do, Jesse, you gotta believe me! I didn't want any of this!
Back up! Get off me! What did I pay you for? Hey, it's me. We got a big problem.
Haha, welcome, welcome, welcome. Everybody, attention please. Talking to you now are the ever charming Trial, Anne, Cynic, and Daphne.
Hello, listeners, love you all.
Very happy to be here.
So, guys, how have you been?
I'm just gonna tell you, last week has been wonderful.
I see. So, you finally did it.
Yes. Turn off, do what? Oh, Daphne, seriously. Get a boyfriend. I mean, I finally started watching this wonderful TV show. Oh, after so many years of day and night, I eventually watched some solid good stuff.
I got it. It's definitely about gay, right?
Daphne, don't jump to conclusions. These days, not everything Cynic watches is about gay.
I mean, she still has other interests, doesn't she? And that's enough guessing. Cynic, just tell us, what's this wonderful show of yours?
I'm not going to tell you this straight away. That would be fun.
Oh, hey, I have an idea. This way, how about Anne and I ask you some questions and you answer with yes or no? Then we shall guess what show it is. What do you think?
Good idea, Daphne. It's like a word guessing game only without a final prize and all.
All agree? Okay, let's begin. The first question comes to...
I'll go. Is this show about gay?
Irresistible.
Yes.
No way.
Come on, guys, I'm being honest, but I do dabble other areas.
Like lesbian?
Right. That's one reason why this show interests me. Actually, this show has every kind of sexuality you can think of. There are homosexuals, bisexuals, and what do you call it? Sex with aliens? Moreover, it's a science fiction. Oops, I probably said too much.
Oh, I know. It's Torchwood, isn't it? The Torchwood?
Correct.
Oh, I've watched it too. But hey, buddy, you're a bit late. The show is ended. I mean, it's not X kind of ended. And it's not even got an ending. It just stopped.
Peachy, isn't it? Well, the show is no doubt amazing. Cynic, you are quite right. I've never seen anything like it.
Yes, and of the whole series, I'm most fascinated by the relationship between Captain Jack and Yanto. Their love is both exploding and extremely sad.
Who doesn't? Every time I rewatch the scene where Yanto dies in Jack's arm, I can't help crying and feeling sorry for Jack.
But before he died, Yanto was my favorite in the series. You know, he talked very little and was often left to watch the base when everyone else went off on a mission. But he is just so cute.
Yeah, same here. Once when I watched him holding a cup of coffee with one hand while putting the other in his suit pocket and smiling a half smile, I just forgot all about the story and began imagining what he would look like topless.
You guys are unbelievable. When it comes to Torchwood, how can you not mention the actor John Barrowman? He's the only reason I stick to the end of the series, even though the series 4 is such a disappointment.
Oh yeah, John is a gay in real life. Is that what you want to say?
Yes, and I think we should probably warn Cynic that he's also married to his boyfriend for a couple of years. You know, in case Cynic come up with some weird ideas.
What? No, not another one. Aren't you always frustrated to learn such news? My dad's mate cried for a whole week when Benedict got married.
I understand. That's why we're telling you this ahead before, anyway, we should wish them happiness, right?
Quite right. I wonder whether the crush on him has anything to do with his American accent.
since, well, it just stands out so distinctly.
Absolutely. You know what it's like when you suddenly hear American accent in a British show? It's like everyone else in the room turns mute and the one who speaks has golden light coming out of him.
That metaphor is so appropriate. I mean, I actually love British accents, but Captain Jack simply puts me under his spell. Words coming out of his mouth have a far more pleasing sound than music.
Here you are, Anne. I finally get to see the fangirling you just in time.
Tell me about it. And do you know that John actually picked up his American accent afterwards?
Really? I thought he was American himself.
Not quite. He was born in Scotland and later immigrated to the United States with his family. He then changed his Scottish accent because his friends laughed at it. Just imagine, what would it be like if John spoke Scottish? Would you still love him? Would you, cynic?
I don't know, maybe. He's still got good acting skills and a hot figure. God, that's sexy.
Which also makes me imagine the topless thing.
God, no, I imagine him without his pants.
Maybe we should call it a day, otherwise we'd get axed.
Oh, was that too much? You asked me first, remember? Tell me you've never thought of that, and our audiences, they don't seem to mind.
I'm not so sure about that, but we should probably end it now.
Yes, we should. Dear listeners, thank you for listening. This is the end of our topic.
But I'm not finished, hey.
Goodbye.
This clip is from the TV series Jonathan Creek. Jonathan discovered that Maddie wasn't single. When she caught him, they began to have a rather uncommon argument.
Yeah?
Plot seconds, get him in a rain tune in cardery, covering the cleaner who turns out was also sharing the sex with Michelle.
And was ordered to download the latest portrait of Silla. And was down the next day, your friend Mr. Claude has been demanding police protection for his new assistant.
Like he thinks she might be next on the killer's hit list, I suppose he was supporting.
Why did you lie to me?
What?
Why did you say you left alone?
I didn't say I left alone.
That was one of your clever deductions.
But you didn't bother to correct me.
I beg your pardon.
You wanted my help.
And you knew the best way to get it was to make me think you were single and unattached.
I'm sorry. What am I being accused of here?
And then you always induce me of sexual fever?
Oh no, you made that very clear right up front that you had no
interest in me whatsoever.
So how did I deceive you?
By telling me categorically that you weren't interested in me in such a way that implied you weren't interested in me.
I don't have to listen to this.
Once in a while, it wouldn't hurt you to stop putting on an act and be yourself.
Oh, really? And it wouldn't hurt once in a while not to be so infantilely, self-righteously, bloody honest?
Hello?
You can begin to imagine the fate of the quagmire with the passes for my love life. It has no stability of any kind. All right, say I was enjoying your company. Well, stranger things have happened.
Hello?
Hello everyone, in this part of Free Talk, we got two 14-6 patients here, or as themselves claimed, pathfinders of the Azeroth. This Apollo,
hello,
Druid came from Darnassus, guardian of the wild, and this is Monica, consider herself warrior of the Warsong clan.
Hi there.
Don't you think it's stupid?
No, you're not suggested to make the situation awkward.
And it's dazzling to piss off druids with shita form.
To be frank, it's a reluctant talk for me. I'm totally in the dark. I got to know a little about World of Craft through Hearthstone. That game is not bad, but it seems far from enough to carry on a talk like this. So, should we start with some introductions?
Briefly, World of Warcraft is a massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
You know, that makes no sense.
More simply, it's an entire world. The game makers realize the fantasies. It's a chance to witness the legends and participants.
There are werewolves, humans, goblins, elves, and many other species. Then you decide your specialism, either a mega to master ice and flame or press to heal by the power of light.
Still sounds not very interesting.
I think we just find our place in that fictitious society, which will never be learned by non-lovers.
Well, although still having no idea about how this world is constructed, but I did get to know that the game we're talking about enjoys a tremendous popularity. According to people around, it's the beginning of everything.
I didn't expect we should mention Blizzard Company this early. I thought I was here to recall some memories with the poet.
Come on, you don't want to make me awkward, do you?
Sure we won't. Do you know the company behind it?
Yeah, Blizzard, one of the best. I know many games belong to it. StarCraft and World of Warcraft.
You know the Hearthstone is linked with World of Warcraft in characters and adventure modes. If you have played this game, you won't describe it just by a simple not bad. The excitement of summoning Deathwing or casting a fireball just reminds me of those epic moments.
Of course, for the glory of lions, for King Varian.
But I speak for the horse hell, who even did more when fighting against the Burning Legion and the Lich King. Just remember the Battle of Mount Hydra.
You two 14-year-old boys!
Okay, let's go back to the company. Blizzard is not productive, but every game is of the best quality.
It's called the beginning of everything, for that they make games that no one ever made before. They set up standards, telling players and the whole industry. Look, this is what a game should be.
They're more of artists than businessmen. They won't issue any game that they don't want to play for their own. I have the book The Art of Blizzard Entertainment. It's a certain autobiography. I'm a big fan of it. I play every game of Blizzard.
You bought Overwatch already? You goddamn rich redneck.
And is that the authentic reason of your delays this week?
Well, no denying. By the way, do you guys know the movie about the World of Warcraft will be on screen on June 8th this year?
Was it affirmed officially 2 days earlier than North Americans? Jesus, you know how much we hate the delay of domestic servers.
Actually, I don't, and I'm not sure if I can really enjoy it.
It's not a fast film. This is where all the stories in the world begins. Besides, we have Daniel Wu, the charming one, although his makeup is a little too thick, which made him uncomfortably good-looking, but he's still attractive.
Look, I won't lie to you about his appearance in this film. I as well consider they were out of their mind to choose Gaudin's ugliest orc for Daniel Wu. But fortunately, the character is vital.
On the other hand, he can make the most handsome Gaudin ever. Do you remember the expansion set, Warlords of Draenor? When Hellscream was about to drink the blood of devil, he hesitated and asked Gaudin what he must give in return. Removing his hood, Gaudin said, "Being as handsome as I am."
Do you know the director, Duncan Jones, is son of David Bowie? Sorry, I have to mention this to provide myself a chance to see Space Oddity.
Do you still in favor of that idea?
Yes. Listen. Ground control to Major Tom.
Sincerely, Jake, I recommend this movie.
I repulse to be involved in any conflict between Alliance and Horde.
Technically, we won't slaughter each other until the common enemies are finished.
Yeah, the Masher dies first.
Well, that's all, we're done. Thank God, no more talk with these two madmen.
Good evening, my dear audiences. It's really nice to see that you're still here at the end of the line. I confess that this makes me feel accompanied and not that lonely on this sentimental Saturday night.
What? Why sentimental? Yes, this is the last station of this semester's Action Frames, but our program will continue to the end of the world.
You think that will make me feel better? I don't want to leave you guys. I mean...
God, Judy? I've never considered you to be such a sensitive person. I mean, come on, let's talk about something that could cheer both you and our audiences up.
Well, I will try to be happier. Shall the topic today still concentrate on the films?
If so, I'd like to talk about the superhero movies which do cheer me up. You mean Marvel and DC? Sure, since 2016 must be a booming of superhero movies. I believe it's also a good idea to light our audiences up.
Agreed. In American superhero movies, there will always be a choosing side question. At first, it looks like Batman and Superman, which side do you choose? Team Cap and Team Iron Man, which side do you choose? But after all, it seems to be a question like Marvel and DC, which side do you choose?
Approval. And sometimes this kind of question really confuses me. For I exactly do not want to choose a side between the two magnates of American comics. However, the truth is, if you don't choose a side, the fans of both sides will cluster you around and try to convince you that their team is better.
I don't say what's wrong with this, but you can listen both sides' story.
No, you don't understand. For always, the way they prove their team to be better is to belittle the other team. I'm fed up with words like Captain America is just a farce between a wife and a pander, or I will surrender to my enemy someday for his mother has the same name with mine.
Wow, I have to say that the metaphor of wife and pander is impressive. Maybe the conflicts between the two camps are exactly the interest that push the two companies forward, making them keep producing more superhero movies of better quality?
The question is, do we really need so many superhero movies like nowadays? In more than 5 years, there have been and will be more than 3 superhero movies shown on big screen per year. Americans' frenzied momentum remind me of the outburst of Western movies in the 70s. And as everybody knows, the Western movies had experienced a flutter fading and finally became a jest, like Don Quixote and his night novel.
Well, maybe today I should stand in a movie fan's shoes and claim that I'm not tired with the superhero movies, at least for now. Although they may put a heavy burden on my wallet. Superhero movies have gradually become a part of our memory, a kind of culture. Not only the wonderful characters like Superman, Batman, Captain America, Spider-Man, and Deadpool. Another great thing of the cinematic universe is that we can appreciate the actor or actress in comparable performance. Meanwhile, we've got Tom Hiddleston, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Ben Affleck already. And we will also get Martin Freeman, Benedict Cumberbatch, Will Smith, Tom Hardy, and more wonderful stars in the future. In movie Batman vs. Superman, Lex Luthor has said on his party in Metropolis. Yes, that's what I want to say. I like to see these wonderful persons gather together on the big screen. And superhero movies just provide a chance.
Oh my god, see how much you've talked about. That's really an outburst of love, huh? But I don't want to disappoint you, but Marvel and DC are all commercial companies. If the superheroes they created has become your childhood memory, they still created them out of commercial purpose.
Commercial purpose? Yes, a part and a very important part. Still, commercial purpose is not all. There are also persons like Zack Snyder and Christopher Nolan, who directed some long-lasting commercial movies. In their works, you can feel an aesthetic enjoyment and be able to see many profound religious allusions.
I'd say in this part, I love Zack Snyder. Born in a photographer's family, his processing of how to shoot a single scene has really reached the peak of perfection. Some scenes in his movie even remind me of the oil paintings hanging in the church.
Oil paintings in the church? I love this metaphor. In this respect, I'd say DC did better than Marvel. For Marvel's work always make people laugh when they are watching it. But when you left the cinema, boom, you won't remember the plot anymore. Fortunately, there will soon be another Marvel movie to remind you of the plot.
Ah, that's really interesting view. Although I will say that making audiences laugh is also another kind of talent. Or Marvel specialities.
Yes, and I'm going to say what Marvel specialities in the cinema this week. How exciting! And now, despite all that, I really, really don't want to say goodbye. It's time to stop and leave the mic to the others. They may also have a lot to talk about tonight.
Hey, Monica. Why are you making that gesture?
What gesture? You mean this?
Yeah.
For God's sake, Charles. Don't tell me you have no idea of that. It means live long and prosper in Vulcan language. It's the most famous gesture in the whole Star Trek series. Sheldon even do this in the Big Bang.
Oh, suppose I'm a little bit ignorant.
Hey, my friends. I'm gonna send this gesture to Action Frames as a gift. Are you coming with me?
Of course.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Action.
Hey, Charles, don't make a mess. I come this time. 3, 2, 1.
Action, friends. Live more and prosper.
I'm Jim Kirk, captain of the Enterprise. A terrorist attack killed my most respected General Parker and caused more than 40 people died meanwhile. I know who's the initiator, John Harrison, a mole inside the Alliance, but there are even more mysteriouses hidden in him. I swear not to let Harrison get away off the sight of the law. For that, I will start my interplanetary journey with my crew in Enterprise. To put Khan, I now know Harrison's true name, to where he should have been many years ago.
Where is he?
Shit.
This way.
The moment when we got to the bridge. Drop
him. What, stun him? God, I thought he was helping us.
I'm pretty sure we're helping him.
We are recovering our line, sir.
Retarget the Enterprise now.
Aye, sir.
Make sure he's staying down.
Excuse me.
Harbor Marcus, you're under arrest.
You are not gonna do this, actually, will you?
Admiral, get out of that chair.
Better stop and think about what you're doing, Kirk. You'd better think what you have done on Kronos. You made an curse on an enemy planet. You killed the Klingon Patrol. Even you've been got away without a trace. War is coming, and who is gonna lead us? You? If I'm not in charge, our entire all and life is destined. So you want me to off this ship, you better kill me.
I'm not going to kill you, sir, but I could stun your ass and drag you out of that chair. But I'd rather not to do that in front of your daughter. You all right?
Yes, Captain. Good evening, everybody, and maybe this is the last greeting I share this term with this microphone in this room. Well, tonight is still a relaxing time for movies, with a little sad though.
No more sadness for today, okay? At least we have spending a lot of great Saturday nights.
Yeah, at least I laughed a lot during our recording.
Besides, it's really fresh when we spoke like a whole different person and even imitated the sounds of different sexuality in flashbacks.
And I enjoy all the clips when you guys yelled I psycho or acted like a spoiled child.
You ever did that too, okay, Chloe? You know what? Today what I'm gonna say is something that never discussed before.
Huh? So there exists a thing that we never discussed before? I mean, homosexuality, come out and come in, abusing children, arts, physics, space, family relationships. I thought we almost talked about everything.
Too naive, child.
Well, did you guys ever heard of The Hateful Eight?
Oh, I watched it actually. It's totally a cringy movie.
Actually, I don't agree with that. On the contrary, in my view, it's totally not a cringy movie.
Wow, seems you like Quentin a lot.
Well, I just happen to know him a little.
How could you get to know him if you have no interest in him?
It's simple to do it if you have a best friend who learns the director profession from high school and she happens to be a typical jerk who would push you to take her lessons with her. And that's how I first met Quentin. Anyway, of course I'm interested in his films.
So, which of his films did you watch at the first time?
Let me think. It should be the Pulp Fiction.
and I didn't realize that violence could be classified as a kind of aesthetics until that time. When I watch it, I just keep astonished all the time. Meanwhile, my best friend sitting beside me is totally calm, as she was just watching a Disney fairy tale.
Maybe that's because she watched a lot.
No, I don't think so. I figure out that she should have talent on those things.
Now I can't really tell whether you are complimenting her or deriding her.
Whatever, she doesn't listen to our program. The point is, from then on, I came to know aesthetics of violence. And my rough thinking of it is that the violence in movies is a formality of audiovisual language, not just for making feel dazzling scenes.
You mean it's not just used as a stimulation to the audience? Anyway, I usually take it as a method to make stunts.
I know what Judy says. Although the Quentin films are always full of blood and bullets, I still don't feel it nasty. I mean, it definitely will make you uncomfortable, but not in a disgusting way.
Yeah, right. And that's because the masters usually don't tend to show you only the details of fighting or struggling. It uses the violence as a way to express the core of the story. Or you can call it ritualization.
I got that good, Gilang.
To ritualize the violence?
It's about some kind of poetizing process. As we know, movie is a category of art forms, which tells a certain story with audiovisual language. Based on this, even the film talks about violent things, it has to symbolize the actions of characters.
I guess you mean poetizing doesn't always refer to poetize nice things, right?
Exactly. You are surprisingly smart today, Chloe. This process makes the violence become a ritual. You know, it's not like religion ritual or authorization ceremony. It bridges the gap between the fierce body actions and the sensitive psychological activities of main characters.
Wait, fierce body actions, sensitive psychology? Can I say it sounds like some sort of American hero mode?
Well, to me, it seems more similar to some classic elements in Hong Kong action movies.
Well, then I must give you an example. Just like superheroes, whether in DC or Marvel, our hero is always said to be an orphan who is suddenly entrusted a mission to save the universe one day, and nothing could stop him except his childhood trauma. And you can see, even Harry Potter develops in this way too. And if you thought about it, our famous Chinese masterwork, Water Margin, follows the routine too.
That's an insightful view, I have to say. And what I'm going to express is about a Hong Kong action movie director, Hu Jinquan. Well, he's not that famous as Xu Ke or Jackie Chan, but most of you must have heard of a Hong Kong movie called Qin Long Men Ke Zhan.
Oh, I know it. Directed by Xu Ke, right? Quite famous.
Yep, and Hu Jinquan is director of Long Men Ke Zhan, the basic of Xu Ke's martial arts films. There never exists a director like Hu Jinquan, who is obsessed with swordsman novels when he was young and finally make the things he always imagined in his mind come true. It is director Hu that started the traditional Hong Kong swordsman films, which attaches significance to the martial arts and heroic romanticism. And it's also him that creates a certain job called action directors in our kung fu films.
That's interesting. You know what? Quentin have a few favorite Chinese directors, including Hu Jinquan, Xu Ke, and Wang Jiawei.
No way!
Yeah, unbelievable. As a matter of fact, Quentin was deeply impacted by Hong Kong kung fu movies. He salutes to loads of Hong Kong directors and famous things in his films. And coincidentally, his latest work, The Hateful Eight, in my opinion, is a salute to Long Men Ke Zhan.
But how?
Well, it's more than similar if you notice the details. First of all, both the stories took place in the only safe space located in an extreme environment. Maybe you could call it some sort of chamber of secrets. The Hateful Eight came across a death snowstorm, and the Long Men Ke Zhan happened in a boundless desert. You know, which is designed nearby today's Dunhuang District, which is near my hometown, and welcome everybody, come to Dunhuang. It's totally worth traveling.
Alright, never thought an advertisement waiting here before. However, is there anything else can prove the salute that you said? I feel quite interested now.
I can talk about it for 2 days if you like, but we don't have much time, so I would like to just name a few. If you ever watch both the films, you can't forget the gates. One is made of wood, another is also made of wood.
Ha 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 ha! Now you begin cosplaying Lu Xun.
Just kidding. After all, I have no juju trees. The wooden gate of Roman Kejian has two bolts on it. But the people inside are always planning murders, so they never open the gate, in fact, which forced the people outside the gate to kick up it. So the bolts on the gate actually exist in name only. However, it's funny to look at everybody breaking into the inn by a kicking way.
That's like a symbol.
Indeed. And also, the wooden gate in the Hateful Eight is kicked off every time when new characters try to enter the all-in warm room in Snowstorm.
I guess Quentin even emphasizes the scene. After they came into the room, they had to use the hammer to nail the boards on the gate to keep Snowstorm away.
Yeah. And what surprises me most is that everyone inside the room would yell at the new breakers like crazy dogs to tell them to nail the boards.
You're right. And there's bunches of scenes that is an imitation of Roman Kejian.
Well, now I know Quentin loves Hong Kong action movies for its violent scenes.
You're half right, because Quentin actually loves the works of Wang Jiawei a lot.
Wang Jiawei? Isn't he the favorite of literary youth?
A little confused now. If we're gonna trace the history, the aesthetics of violence was actually born in America, and it grew to be commonly used in movies from a famous director, Wu Sun. He has two popular works, A Better Tomorrow, which is 英雄本色 in Chinese, and Mission Impossible. He's the first director who gave the violence in movie a justice meaning. Thousands of directors are affected by his film style. It is him that makes the gangsters movie become popular.
And even the Taiwanese and Japanese trendy dramas years ago used gangsters as their selling proposition for some young girls who are really crazy into these cool settings.
Sometimes what the young girls are thinking is really confusing. Just like the hottest Korean drama these days, Descendants of the Sun. Well, I do admit that Song Joong-ki is handsome, but I just can't follow all the episodes week by week. You know, after you watched one or two episodes, the plots are completely clear and you just have no mood to follow something without surprises.
I just can say, don't guess girl thoughts ever.
Back to topic. I know Quentin once cried after watching Wang Jiawei's Chongqing Express. I thought that the most and most violent thing must cover the most and most soft soul. You know yin yang, right? Things will always change to the opposition way when it touches the extreme of itself. Everything is changing, isn't it?
Okay, you must have taken some Joey lessons.
Yeah,
but that seems convincing. I mean, tough guys also have the ability to love. It's just the problem of quantity they can give to others. Even revenge is produced by the deepest love, isn't it?
Right. Every person is an aggregation of contradictions. So don't judge others simply. It's a basic fight.
Classic speech. But it's fucking right.
All right, a long discussion, huh? Well, it's really nice to chat with you guys together, but our time is running out, so...
Okay, let's say goodbye and see you next term. Don't forget us, I'm Chloe.
This is Charles.
And I'm Judy. Stay tuned.
Next term, we'll still wait for our audiences, the audience. I do appreciate Fitzgerald. Last time, he came to take a photo there and was a trial.
And began imagining what he would look like topless.
You guys are unbelievable. You guys are unbelievable.
特别诡异，都一样，他们给字母设定了一个人格。
Television is more like a gentle little pretty beauty. Yeah. Television is more like a gentle little beauty.
You.
Whenever you want.
You.
Bad metaphor.
我能 Whenever you want, only at home. Theater.
Theater. 哎呀，你们就别互相纠正了好吗？都是错的。
Television is more.
我操，这不是蛮长的吗？
只有一千个字。
我操，说这不是蛮长的吗？
只有一千个，
这个世界给的下限了，我已经。
你为什么要问呢？你不是你让我问的吗？
我没问你。
嗯，是吗？那谁让我问的？
He then changed his Scottish accent because his friends laughed at it.
Yes, this is the last station of this semester's Action Frames, but our program will continue to the end of the world.
好羞耻。
I'd confess that this makes me feel accompanied and not that lonely on the sentimental sympathy that...
你呆。
Cameron.
好凶
啊！
哇，你好
饿！我为什么又会？这儿又会一饮那的？
为什么？你们，我这视角要坑自己，给自己喷了一个这个。
我之前没有认真看。
整个广播台的屋主已经完全被 Banana Hot Dog 带起来了。
我的天哪！我没有搬到下一页，后面很长吗？
好开心啊
！And even Harry Potter develops.哎呦我的天哪 Fierce body action Sensitive psychologically
Psychology、
哎、天哪我的天哪怎么又这叫还行这叫还行你跟我说这叫还行哎呦我的天我的天哪哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈哈
哈
羡慕你们这些有手机的人
你要说你要把制片人扔出去，
我
你是 B 还是 C 啊？
嗯，我哪知道？
你是 B
我是 B， 我是 B，
那你就是 C。你看都没看到下来。
嗯。Ha, that's really an interesting view.
什么鬼啊？
没有感觉到一丝的震
动。
What? Absolute? What? Absolutely not. Not.
不是我
说 Elva 呀、啊？
我说是 Elva 呀、
啊？说是 C 呀、啊？
我说是 L 吧呀，你没睡醒吧？你说是 L 吧？
是吗 ？Oh, Aaron Paul, my biggest dream is to let him call me a bitch.
What the fuck？ 我不会说 really 的，我就说 what the fuck。
Classic speech。
我还有一句没有读。
What the fuck？ Classic speech, but it's fucking right.我一定要这么读
太棒完全符合设定
You ever did that too okay Chloe
好像叫你 sister
sister 怎么叫 little bitch
好 little bitch
it's always absolutely
表一些好吗表一些我是这个后期我需要你表一些
傻逼傻逼Too naive.
Too naive. Little princess.
Too naive. 牙齿。你这神经好粗啊！
你好烦。
What's the difference?
啊，你好烦哦，我乐意。
Very very nice.
你好烦哦，你字好小。
在人类发明旋转餐桌之前。
你闭嘴。
可以不戴眼镜，但是你可以把字放大一点吗？
放大就显示不了一点。
横屏啊，大姐！
我没有调横屏啊，这好烦哦。他，你看他不转过来、啊。
嗯。
哦。不要逼逼，快念。It's totally acquainting。哈哈，好烦。
你可以说的 hateful 一点，我不介意。
我不要，我爱他。
哦。
And you can see, even Harry Potter. 哎，我一说到这个就变成了奇怪。
是朱迪没错吧？
不是。
我想一想。不对，我们。
可可太天真了 ，too naive。就叫朱迪。
哎。
Monica。
哦，对。
太过分了
是我见到
Well, Apple, you really are leading the talk into a weird direction here
Come on,
oh, fuck
Oh, yeah, we'll see you. Okay.
Whatever, she doesn't listen to our program. 好悲伤。没有，是因为她听不懂。对。
And this is Monica, consider herself warrior of the Warzone clan.
啊，小春。啊。厉害了。
Sorry, I have to mention this to provide Jake a chance to sing Space Oddity. Jake, do you still feel this idea? 我要跟我自己说 Jake, 你
不我这不是我安排你读的。我本来以为这不是你读的。
Provide myself.
我不准备唱了，再见，我不要让我的歌声出现在这篇稿子里，好吗？
I know what Judy's saying.
Yes, yes, better. Try me.
Bitch!
傻逼，
我怎么了？感觉
没问题，
不会
砸海了。
But how? 你看你写的稿 ，A 巴拉巴拉巴拉巴拉 B, no way, A 巴拉巴拉巴拉 B, but how?
Shit. If you ever watch both the films, you can't forget the gates. One is made of wood.Another is also made of me.
这电影名中文叫什么？
查理全英国。
啥？
哦，不是，他的英文是这个。
Freddy,
you're
Freddy.
Adolescent years.
Around my adolescent years, and around my adolescent years, 算了，随便剪一个吧。Shit,
let me, I love you, bye.
What?
Trust me, you would never believe that the rice could be dealt.
咋了？
怎么突然一下呆了？
Good evening, my dear audiences. It's really nice to see.
笑什么？没笑。
道德沦丧，
仙术不成，道风衰败，
是道德，是社会的冷漠，还是道德的沦丧？
都是。Well, it's really nasty.
Nasty, yeah.
Nasty. It's really nasty to chat.
Ground control to Major Tom. Okay,
停下
OK, what a singer.
至少看四句了。
What a singer!
That's not enough.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yes, that's not enough.
That's not enough, Jake. Come on.
Oh, you mean the brown sugar gluten? Oh, you mean the brown sugar glutinous? Oh, you mean the brown sugar glutinous rice cake? Rice cake, my. Oh, you mean the brown sugar glutinous rice cake? Fuck.
You mean the 口头词吧?
Speciality.
好，就这样做，
还是很有逼格的样子。Okay, you're three emotional animals.
Emotional.
我说什么？
Emotional.
是什么词？
This is Charles. What the fuck? This is Charles.
Translated by
朱生豪。
朱生豪。Or
图案。
图案。哦，图案。Or 图案。Or 图案。
3, 2, 1,
Action Frames,
Live Long and
Prosper. Okay, thank you so much, and see you all next semester.
Master.
那个法国人说我的时候，是不是？ Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, thank you so much, and see you all next semester.
Semester,
okay. Okay, thank you so much, and see you all next semester.
Yeah.
就是这种自己一个人表，想把大家都
带。对呀。
什么呀？这稿子怎么没有？
更多节目，下载荔枝FM收听。